From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mock Report. It's June 16th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the Bush administration is arguing in favor of the RFS standard. Democrats think energy companies should be required to explore for oil on lands leased from the federal government. And FSA officials in the three I states say farmers are telling them the floodwaters have wiped away crops on millions of acres. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. And along the way, we'll hear a firsthand account of what the crops look like in the state of Iowa. University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger traveled there last week. Hey, this is the Closing Market Report. It is a production of WILL AM 580. That's public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the July wheat pit at $8.76.5, down 5.5 cents. September at $8.94.25, 5.25 lower. And December futures at $9.17.5, down 4.5 cents. July corn futures, $7.32.5, up 3/4. September up a penny at $7.46.75, and December at $7.65, unchanged on the day. March contract, $7.77, up a half. July soybean futures down 26 cents at $15.34. August, $15.37.5, down 22.25. And September soybeans at $15.26, down 14 cents for the day. November beans, $15.23. They finished 8 cents lower. Soybean meal now, $405.80. The last trade there, down $3.40 for the July. July bean oil at $65.65, down 54. June live cattle from the CME Group, up 115 at $96.72.5. The August at $103.45, up 117.5. August feeder cattle, 109.65 100 weight, up 50 cents. September, a quarter higher at 111.50. That's up 25 cents. July lean hog, 72.87.5, 72.5 cents lower on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Outside markets now, nearby crude oil futures trading the July now at 134.60. That's down 26 cents. August at 135.35, down 12 for the day. July ethanol at $2.83.6, up 3.7. The August at 286 even, that's up 6 cents. Natural gas trading the July at $12.91.9, up 29.4. And the August at $13.2.1, up 29.3 cents. The heating oil futures at $3.81.8, up rather down 1.8 for the afternoon. The August at $3.84.7, that's off 1.6. Propane futures, their last trade, probably last week, at $1.80.2 for the July, and the August both at $1.80.2. July, or rather June, gold futures at $8.83.60. Or $883.60. That's up $13.30 for the day. July at $884.40, up $13.20 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,311. It's up just about 4 points for the afternoon. And the CRB index at 450.48 is up 4.61. The dollar at 73.58. is down 0.55 on the afternoon. Illinois and Indiana agricultural weather forecast for the afternoon. A severe thunderstorm watch is in effect for portions of the far southern and west central parts of Indiana. That until 5 o'clock Eastern time this evening. A flood warning for urban areas and small stream is in effect until Tuesday morning for eastern Clark, Crawford, Jasper, Lawrence, and Richland counties in east central and southeastern Illinois. And a flood warning is in effect for most rivers across Illinois and Indiana. That until further notice. Tonight in the far south, partly cloudy skies, a chance of a scattered shower. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy. Lows from 50 in the far north to around 60 in the far south. More on the weather at the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the Agricultural Council of the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce, presenting Come Wine With Us this Thursday, June 19th from 5 to 7 p.m. at Hardy's Reindeer Ranch in Rantoul. The event will feature information on local agriculture, wine tasting, and live music.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Another rain-soaked weekend, and the folks in Iowa are, well, they're digging out, I guess, of the floodwaters at this point. But those waters, of course, moving south along the Mississippi River and causing some havoc in parts of Illinois, Missouri, and elsewhere along that river.
Yeah, definitely in the upper part of the river there where the channels are narrower, of course, and it's going to test some levees and naturally going to be some sandbagging and low-lying areas are going to be in jeopardy again as the floodwaters move south. We've got a wider base to work with, but not only are we looking at crop concerns, but we're also looking at some transportation concerns too, so it's a mess, and if it affects you individually, it's a disaster. So our hearts out to those individuals having to deal with that. Market was higher overnight and early in the session on renewed concerns of a smaller supply. We've reversed the market here from a demand-driven market to a supply-concerned market now, and that's what the trade's going to focus on. And probably this afternoon is going to be the real benchmark to go by as far as what type of supply we're looking at as far as a conditions report. Trades dialed in to see this good to excellent category for corn, which is at 60% good to excellent last week, to maybe drop 4%, 5%, 6%. We feel it's going to be larger than that. But a lot of these analysts look at the good to excellent readings and sort of plug that into their yield model to give them an idea of where the crop is at. Same thing on the beans, a couple percentage point drop out of the good to excellent category on beans. We'll see what develops on those numbers. But with that type of drop in expectations and the weekend rain event, why did the market close lower is probably on most of the traders' minds, especially in the beans and corn closing unchanged. And two things. One is the forecast is going to be drier this week. So it's going to give the wet areas an opportunity to dry out and also help the crop handle the conditions a little bit better. And then secondly, crude oil broke there all late in the trading session in grains. Crude was down a couple bucks at one time, and about the same time the grains sort of gave up their gains too. So those two things sort of sent the market to close lower here, Todd.
Let's talk a bit more about the corn market since, I think, June the 5th. Corn has rallied in the December contract on the daily, $1.50. That happens, I suppose, in a supply-driven market as opposed to demand-driven market as they try to figure out how tight supplies really are going to be. Is there much upside potential left in this marketplace? Can we go above $8? Is $1.50 enough? And I only ask this question because we settled, unchanged, I think, in that December contract from yesterday. Not quite a hook down in the marketplace, but pretty darn close.
Yeah, we traded lower in the final minutes there and was able to settle unchanged there. The ability to trade sharply higher and close unchanged sort of signals that the market's overdone and is due for a correction. How high we can go, quite a few analysts are looking at this 820, 830 area. Imagine there's some buy stops above $8 to get us another 20, 30 cents higher, but it feels like that's sort of the number here near term. Time-wise, there's several things to look at. We're starting to enter the mid-time window of the cycles where we could be due to top out here and turn down to record some 8 to 10 week cycle lows here as time goes on. And also, too, historically, time windows is ones to keep in mind is the equinoxes. First day of summer here is on Friday. Then, two, we've got a 3-day weekend coming up here on the 4th of July. Still a ways away yet, and I know a day can be an eternity as a commodity trader, but those two time frames could signal that maybe the timing in here is ripe for some type of top.
If that's the case, are you a willing seller of either old crop corn or even soybeans?
We feel so. We continue to be a scale-up seller. We're fortunate enough to have some inventory left to continue to market. I think you got to reward the market as we go. I'd say save some inventory, though, in case corn does get to $10 and beans to $20. I'd spread it out between now and then. Also, we've been big pushers of put options clear back last winter. We feel that some of those put options now need to be converted to actual cash sales. Guys have invested quite a bit of money in puts. Those puts have gone down, but the market has rallied $2 to $3 in through here, and so we feel it's time to reward the market and roll those as actual cash sales.
So you're going to go ahead and do that. You're doing that for both crops, corn and
beans? Corn and beans both, yes. Guys have spent anywhere from 10 to 50 cents on puts. Those puts have gone down anywhere from 5 to 30 cents, but they've gained $2 to $3 on the other side of the equation. I think that's the best scenario that could ever happen. Unless you're in an area where you don't have the yield or bushels to market, that's what we bought the puts for. I've seen guys buy puts and calls. They watch the market go up. They watch the market go down and don't get the cash grain marketed at a good price. So we feel we need to start the process of transferring these put purchases into actual cash sale. It's a windfall, and it's a marketing tool that has worked very well.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Livestock market, hogs are sort of in check-in through here as we continue to see this demand be good one day and sort of poor the next. Cattle and feed report here at the end of the week, feel it's going to be a positive report, verifying we've got smaller numbers to work with as we go into 2009.
Okay, thanks much.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Well, in about 3 minutes, we'll have another phone number for you to dial up in case you're looking to volunteer some time over on the levees in western Illinois. The Pike County Farm Bureau would like you to call, especially if you have straw bales that are available. They need some help to keep those levees intact. Get your pen and paper ready. In about 3 minutes, we'll give you that number. Dave Dickey's here now with the news.
In agricultural news, lawmakers from the Senate Energy Committee are reacting favorably to Bush administration arguments to keep hands off the renewable fuel standard. The RFS mandate for corn-based ethanol this year is 9 billion gallons. Next year, it increases to 10.5 billion gallons. The White House argues changing the RFS would pull the rug out from investors who have poured millions of dollars into the ethanol industry. Senate Energy Committee Chairman Jeff Bingaman says altering the RFS would, quote, not only be unfair to the industry, but also would have negative implications for second-generation fuels. Democrats have introduced legislation that would require energy companies to explore for and produce oil and natural gas on acreage that they lease from federal lands. Democrats say some 68 million leased acres are sitting idle. Republicans are expected to oppose the bill, saying it duplicates current federal leasing policies. FSA officials in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Indiana are hearing of significant corn and soybean acre losses due to flooding. A break in the Wabash River levee may have wiped out 45% of the acres in Lawrence County, Illinois. Iowa State University economists say more than 1 million acres in the Hawkeye State are in jeopardy. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin has introduced legislation to increase the resources and authority of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Durbin says his bill would require all oil futures traders to report to the CFTC, direct the CFTC to investigate oil trading, and authorize the CFTC to hire a bigger staff. And top U.S. and South Korean trade officials have broken off weekend talks without resolving a flap over resuming U.S. beef trade. South Korea wants to modify an April deal, moving from a complete open market to only acceptance of cattle under 30 months of age. The Bush administration says it will not renegotiate the original accord. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. This in from the Sni Island Drainage District over in Pike County. They're in need of a few straw bales to help assist in the levee protection there. They also need a few volunteers to assist in sandbagging efforts at the fairgrounds in Pleasant Hill, the old school in New Canton, and the grade school in Hull. So you're headed, if you can get out and take a few bales of straw with you, to the fairgrounds in Pleasant Hill, the old school in New Canton, or the grade school in Hull. That's in Pike County in far western Illinois. For more details and ways that you can help out and volunteer your service, call this number, 217-285-2233. It's 217 area code. I'll repeat it again, 285-2233. One more time, 285-2233. If you can volunteer, please do. Now up next, you know those floodwaters have covered acre after acre of corn and soybean fields in the three I states, Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa this season. And it will and is having an impact on the crops. The Illinois Extension agronomist made a trip through Iowa last week, and he says the crops there in the eastern part of Iowa are far worse off than those right here in our home state of Illinois. University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger has been traveling through Iowa. He made a trip there the second week of June.
I was in eastern Iowa, up into north central Iowa this past week, and I guess my only comment would be that Illinois is in a lot better shape than Iowa when it comes to crops. There's a lot of attention on the flooding now in Iowa, but that's their big problem is that they didn't have good crops to begin with. They were later in planting than we were. And, of course, with the topography of Iowa, they have a lot more standing water than we do. And they have wet parts of fields that don't look like they'll be dry the rest of the summer. There's some pretty good lakes out there.
More importantly, Nafziger says the Iowa crop, like that of many places around the Midwest, is off to a very poor start. It was planted late under wet and cold conditions. The Iowa crop is off to a small yellow start.
And that's not just Iowa. There's some of that in Illinois as well, where the rain was just sort of relentless, the cloudiness. We don't know that at this point if that poor color comes from a loss of nitrogen, but this year is one where having nitrogen on at time of planting certainly seemed to help quite a bit. We've side dressed some here just this week of corn that didn't have nitrogen put on it earlier. And it's really yellow this year.
You might make note here that Nafziger had a field of corn side dress that had not been previously treated. The general recommendation from the U of I is not to put additional N onto a cornfield. Nafziger says N does not easily move into the corn crop until soil temps warm up, and that really didn't happen until June, and then was complicated by the rainfall saturation.
So the normal supply that we expect to see from the soil for early growth in the crop may not be there. It probably wasn't there this year. And as a result, the crop is really a bad yellow color. Now, also in standing water or saturated soils, roots don't work very well. And they aren't able to get oxygen, which is their big problem. Add to that the fact that we worked these soils and planted them when it really wasn't quite fit in many cases. And this may be one of those years when the restrictions on root growth because of that can really hurt us.
And there just doesn't seem to be much good news from the waterlogged Midwest. It all adds up, says the U of I's Emerson Nafziger, to a shallow-rooted system.
The warm temperatures we've had tend to favor top growth over root growth, and it's an allocation matter. If we return to more normal temperatures, it will probably be somewhat favorable in slowing top growth a little bit and maybe letting the roots catch up. But the physical barrier we created when we planted into wet conditions or replanted into wet conditions is going to still be there.
That physical barrier is likely to keep the root system shallow, and in an odd twist has Emerson Nafziger wishing for the rains to continue at a fairly frequent pace. Should things turn dry in the Midwest, the root systems of this year's corn crop will let farmers know much sooner rather than later that they need another drink of water. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to take a look at the cash grain market. And Brian Stark of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County joins us by phone. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
In your part of the world, I saw on the way in from my hometown at least a little movement, and things have dried up enough for farmers to get out and do some replanting. I suspect he was planting beans in that cornfield, but you can tell me what kind of action's happening.
Well, I think you've seen some replant going on, but quite scarily enough, guys are still in the field for the first time trying to get in there to plant their beans the first time around. So a lot of that going on. It's hit or miss in different spots. It seems like it's wetter to the east than it is directly around Champaign and west. But, yes, dry weather and then a lot of action yesterday with the storms, but at least in the general vicinity around Champaign, we didn't see much rain. So hopefully with the dry forecast this week, we'll make a good dent in those beans and replanting acres that need to get done.
Can you tell me specifically about the areas in southern Indiana and how badly hurt they are, and maybe in what you've heard about northeastern Iowa as well?
Well, I think the Secretary of Agriculture in Iowa, I can highlight him probably better than I can the Indiana situation. Both are on par being pretty bad, but the main thing in Iowa, he talked about 9% of his acres either lost to flooding or have to be replanted. You're looking at maybe 1 million acres there of the 13 that they were talking about originally planting. From a bean perspective, much worse. 20% either lost to flooding or have to be replanted. So in that regard, they think 9.6 is what they intended to plant in Iowa. So you're looking at almost 2 million acres of beans. While they have time to put the beans in, the corn is definitely a problem. And I would say southern half of Indiana is in the same situation. The difference between Iowa and Indiana, from my understanding, is that a lot of the flooded areas in Iowa are in the lower ground versus we've just got big pockets in Indiana. This is from a couple of producers I talked to this morning. So it will remain to be seen how the market reacts, but I think the acreage number at the end of the month could shock quite a few people.
We'll find out on June 30th. What are your bids for the day?
707 for cash corn, fall corn 725, cash soybeans 1516, and fall beans 1443.
Any final bit of advice? 10 seconds.
I would say just hope for dry weather, and the market doesn't seem like it wants to break here in the short term.
Okay, thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Brian Stark. He's with the Andersons. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report at Monday afternoon. It's just about 25 after the hour. I'm Todd Gleason. In 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the ag weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Hundreds of state National Guard troops and prison inmates are sandbagging areas in western Illinois threatened by the rising waters of the Mississippi River. Governor Rob Blagojevich's office says another 100 Air National Guard troops have been deployed to assist in the effort. Of particular concern is the Water Treatment Center in Quincy. Officials have been sandbagging that facility that sits in a floodplain, and Blagojevich spokesman David Ruddick says if it is flooded, it could disrupt the water supply for 40,000 people. In Indiana, storms tore off part of the roof of Christ Memorial Temple yesterday in Lafayette, and three men were rescued from the flood-swollen White River in Noblesville after they went over a dam in their kayaks. Supporters of the Mattoon FutureGen project say their plans for the Clean Coal project are going ahead, even without support or funding from the federal government. Angela Griffin of the economic development group Coals Together says she's confident that the next president will resume support for FutureGen in its original form. In closing arguments today, the lawyer for former Bloomington Police Sergeant Jeff Pilo says the prosecution failed to prove that his client had anything to do with the rapes of four women. During the prosecution's closing arguments earlier in the day, McLean County Assistant State's Attorney Mark Messman told jurors that they can be certain Pilo is the right man. Messman says evidence, including voice and face identifications, point to the former officer. Walter Netsch Jr. died yesterday in Chicago of pneumonia at age 88. Netsch was a prominent Chicago architect who designed the University of Illinois Chicago campus and the 1958 Inland Steel Building, now an official Chicago landmark. He's survived by Don Clark Netsch, a former state senator and comptroller who ran for governor in 1994. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Monday afternoon. Meteorologist Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago now joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It looks like it's going to be a beautiful week here in the Midwest.
For much of the week here, Todd, we expect actually unseasonably cool conditions across much of the belt, and along with that, much-needed drying conditions that will persist through about Thursday of this week, so about 4 days of dry weather. However, we feel that the pattern will again become more active starting over the upcoming weekend, and actually that will expand in the next week as rain activity returns to the Midwest, but also along with that, warmer temperatures.
Do you have a handle on how the Mississippi will swell and where it will swell? Based on the floodwaters coming out of the upper part of Iowa and the northwestern part of Illinois?
Oh, that's tough to say, Todd. Well, certainly with all the tributaries here feeding into the main river system here in the Midwest, and then obviously leading into the Mississippi, it seems like a large area of along Illinois, Missouri, and even downstream, too. Obviously, the low-lying areas or areas that have smaller levees, obviously at risk here, but really tough to get a handle on the situation.
Mm-hmm. Can you compare and contrast maybe what's happened in Iowa with what's been happening in parts of Indiana then?
Well, some similarities, but then again, some differences too. For Iowa overall, much of the state has received, obviously, excess rainfall, some to incredible magnitude, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 inches over the past couple of weeks here. So you have more widespread flooding issues across areas of Iowa, namely the central and eastern sections of the state. Parts of Iowa, Illinois, getting my states here mixed up here. From an Indiana standpoint, it seems more regional, although that is affecting areas of central and south central Indiana. And so a bit less in the way of your wide-scale nature here in Indiana compared to Iowa at the present time.
And you mentioned that we may come back into a little rainfall system. Will that be primarily across what parts of the Midwest?
Well, it's tough to put a handle on that here, Todd. It looks like, at least at this time, as we see a return of unsettled conditions, I guess the most likely areas will be the central and northern sections of the Midwest. So, unfortunately, that does include some of your waterlogged areas already. Including Iowa and then even Wisconsin as well here. So that's the thing that we're monitoring, and that's the thing we're trying to refine here going forward. Does it lie along the northern and central areas of the Midwest, or do we see something, a storm track that's positioned a little bit further south? But that's really the focus of attention here going forward in our minds.
Thanks much, and we appreciate you being with us today.
Okay then, Todd.
Thank you to the folks at Chesapeake Energy, and in particular to Mark Russo, who joined us from his Chicago office this afternoon for this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Please remember, you can hear today's futures analysis, the cash grain report, and the weather right there on the web. Just go to our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. www.iowa.org. And don't forget, while you're there, to sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's absolutely free. I'm Todd Gleason.